This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit Spectrum.com/big deal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it's Tuesday. We got ourselves a lead story live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. 1 hour from now, post-free agency Herd hierarchy, top 10 teams in the league. Before the draft and after free agency, Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, we have ourselves what they call a line in the sand. You see this in American business all the time. Somebody, a big, powerful person, says, enough is enough. I'm tired of taking all the hits. It's a big one.
Well, after this season, had to expect just a little more sprinkle of drama before we get out of the regular season with the Lakers.
Yeah, here we go. So in Los Angeles, we are a city of stars, as you know. Movie stars and TV stars and athletic stars and tech stars and political stars. A lot of them. In sports, there is nobody close to as popular as Magic Johnson. Nobody's close. No Laker ever. Certainly no Ram. No Dodger. I've been in Staples Center when Magic Johnson, all these years later, just comes through the tunnel. The entire crowd stands. No, I'm not joking. The entire crowd stands to get a look at Magic Johnson. He is absolutely beloved, and there's nobody who has more impact in this city ever. Maybe it's Jordan in Chicago, Jeter in New York, but in Los Angeles, Magic talks and is critical, and he's rarely critical. Magic's a nice guy. Magic says nice things. Magic elevates others. But Magic Johnson went on Get Up, Mike Greenberg, Get Up yesterday, ESPN, and delivered this blow about LeBron, the general manager.
The blame that he's got to take is the fact that DeRozan ended up in Chicago and not with the Lakers. DeRozan wanted to play for the Lakers. And when I got the call from his agent, I called the Lakers, said, hey, he wants to come home. And DeRozan could have been a Laker instead of a Bull. We could have made that deal. But when Russell and LeBron and them start talking, that's when they nixed that deal. And Westbrook, he became a Laker instead of DeRozan.
By the way, DeRozan's averaging 28 a game, a career high. He's an all-star, and he has acknowledged earlier Lakers did him dirty. Mm-hmm. By the way, Magic's known this for a long time. Why did Magic now decide to go public? Because he is close with Jeannie Buss, a very strong woman. And Jeannie Buss said, Magic, I'm done taking all the heat for this. I'm tired of getting ripped by the media. Do me a solid. And so Magic Johnson went on ESPN. He got the go-ahead from Jeannie Buss. I'd like to thank Magic. I'd like to thank Jeannie Buss. And I'd like to thank the Lakers. They're taking their franchise back. And I'm pro-LeBron. I know all his associates. I like them all. I'm pro-LeBron. But bro, this is LA. This is not Akron. This is the Lakers, not the Cavs. You're old, not young. The Lakers are saying enough is enough. Jeannie Buss is saying, I've seen you dismantle four franchises, and we did it for you too. And I know you want to own a team. Michael Jordan does. And we're all for you owning a team. Not ours. Not now. This is the ultimate line in the sand as a franchise. Enough is enough. Remember at the All-Star break, Rob Pelinka and Clutch Sports battle. Multiple sources. I'm reading it here. Clutch was not happy with Rob Pelinka because Clutch Sports, which represents LeBron, called Pelinka and said, trade Wall for Westbrook. Wall in a first-round pick. Westbrook in a first-round pick for Wall. And Clutch Sports, that's what they wanted. They said, the Westbrook deal, our client's getting crushed. Wall hates Houston. And Rob Pelinka said, no. No, we didn't want Westbrook. You guys wanted Westbrook. And you're going to have to live with this mess. We're not going to do a solid for LeBron. We did you solid. We wanted Buddy Hield. We wanted DeRozan. They wanted us. I mean, this is not, by the way, these are not rumors. It is understood in NBA circles. Buddy Hield and DeRozan were coming here instead of Westbrook. But LeBron, who has fallen into this too cool to care vibe this year, has distanced himself from this story. And Jeannie Buss said, enough. Okay, we're good partners. We're good partners. We appreciate the singular championship. But you and AD and Clutch Sports, we haven't won a single playoff series since you arrived in Los Angeles. That was a bubble. We didn't make any money for that. That was great for you. Wasn't great for us. And I'm blaming you, but we're not giving you credit for it. It's a championship. We got banners and retired jerseys. We got Wilt upstairs. We got Kareem upstairs. We got Shaq upstairs. We're the Lakers. We're not the Cavs. So we know you want to own a team. Not going to be ours. And so this was needed. It was necessary. And I've said this before. Jeannie Buss needs to get on the phone, move Westbrook at the end of the year, try to move AD, and build around LeBron if he is willing to play with younger players. He's never wanted to do that. He could have had, you know, rookie Andrew Wiggins in Cleveland. He's like, give me Kevin Love. I don't want to play with kids. I don't want to teach him the game of basketball. And in his prime, he had every right to do that. But LeBron got called out. And when Magic talks, people listen. And Magic's known this is true for a year. Why is he delivering it now? Because Jeannie Buss said, enough is enough. We're taking our franchise back. How LeBron reacts to this is going to be fascinating. But it should be noted, Magic is significantly more popular than any athlete in this town and 1,000 times more popular than LeBron in Los Angeles. All right. So I am jaded as a college basketball fan. So, and the reason being is my first job out of college was in Las Vegas, and I covered Jerry Tarkanian and the Runnin' Rebels, arguably the greatest college basketball team of all time. And college basketball was different in the 80s and 90s. You could be Tim Duncan, Patrick Ewing. You'd come back for like your senior year. Now it's a very transactional sport. There are no great teams anymore. You'll have individual great players, but there are no more great teams. College basketball was so good in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. It was so good in the 80s. There was once a team in Houston called the Cougars, Phi Slamma Jamma. You can look them up on YouTube. They had Akeem Olajuwon at center, Hall of Famer, Clyde Drexler at guard, Hall of Famer, Larry Michaud, Michael Young. Look up Rob Williams. They couldn't win a championship. There was a St. John's team that had Mark Jackson, Chris Mullen, Walter Berry, Bill Winnington, Louis Carnesecca as a coach. They couldn't win one either. There were Georgetown teams with multiple NBA players knocked off by Villanova, who had multiple NBA players. So as I watched Kansas win last night, I thought, this is not one of the top Kansas teams of all time. And I know nobody wants to hear that. I congratulate them. Bill Self is a great coach. They had more depth in Carolina, and they stayed healthier. But a couple years ago, the Raptors beat the Warriors in the finals, and I said, congratulations, you were healthier. I don't think you were better. I'm not sure, really, Kansas is better than Carolina, but they wear the crown, and they earned it. But I saw them get blown out at home by Kentucky, struggle with Miami, get blown out in the first half against Carolina, and then two of Carolina's guys got hurt. It's not a knock, but I'm jaded watching college basketball. I enjoyed the heck out of the last 3 weeks. There are no more great teams. I've talked to coaches privately about this. There are great players. Good God, folks. Kansas had Wilt. A couple years ago, they had Joel Embiid and Andrew Wiggins. The Danny Manning team is one of the best ever. But if you have a great coach, you stay healthy, have better depth than who you play in the tournament, and a couple of NBA guys, that's good enough to win today. It's not a knock on Kansas. But when I watch college basketball today, in my formative broadcasting years, I watched it when the sport was absolutely at its peak. When stars like Christian Laettner, you know, Duncan Ewing, they came back like juniors, seniors. That's not the sport. It's highly transactional. I enjoyed the heck out of the last 3 weeks. And Kansas is a top three or four brand in the sport, and they deserve to be called champions today. They earned it. But my takeaway is I was watching two good teams. One fell apart physically. The other did not. And you get credit for that, Raptors and Kansas. It's not a shot. They deserve praise. But they've had Wilt and Embiid, Paul Pierce. And I don't think their prospects for the NBA are nearly as good as those players. But sometimes, we saw this a few years ago with the Buccaneers beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Were they better? Well, they were healthier. Were the Raptors better? They were healthier. Is Kansas better? They were healthier. And they wear the crown this morning. But I'll just tell you, sprained ankles are not good in basketball, and they got a couple of them, and I thought it changed the outcome of the game. And I'll get a lot of hate mail for that, but, you know, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what I saw. Bill Self is great. But I'll tell you, Hubert Davis, you got to be a pretty good basketball program. They weren't sure if Hubert Davis was the right guy to hire. When you can hire a guy as basketball coach and you're not even sure he's the best candidate and he gets you to the championship game, Carolina's future, along with Kansas, is really, really bright.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet five. That's it. $5 and get 200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms and responsible gaming resources.
Kevin Durant was talking about the Brooklyn Nets, and Joy and I talked about this at the end of yesterday's show. Durant has lived up to his end of the bargain with Brooklyn. Kyrie is of another world half the time, and James Harden quit on the franchise, and Ben Simmons now won't play. So, and we don't know if Steve Nash can coach. He's a smart guy. I don't know if he can coach. I mean, I don't think he's Eric Spoelstra. I don't think he's Ty Lue. But, I mean, he's learning as a coach, right? So, Kevin Durant said yesterday it was his injury in mid-January that derailed the team. Well, how can you derail something that's never actually been on the tracks? Since KD and Kyrie have joined forces in Brooklyn, they have the 13th best record in the NBA. 13th. That's below the Lakers, who've been a hot mess for 2 years. That's below the Grizzlies and the Raptors. They've won 54% of their games. You know, Charlie Sheen was on the number one TV show in America. His career got derailed. Tiger Woods was the number one or number two golfer in the world. Then there was the incident in Florida. His career got derailed. The Colts, when Andrew Luck suddenly retired, they got derailed. Now they've had four quarterbacks in 4 years. I mean, they gave him an offensive line finally, some weaponry, a defense, an offensive head coach. The Colts were derailed, and they've been scrambling since. The Nets have been hype and promises and weirdness and what-ifs. That's all they've ever been. They've been optimism. They haven't been good. They've won 54% of their games in the East. The only person that has lived up to the billing has been Kevin Durant. He's been great when he's healthy. And by the way, we all know Kevin at this point. He's not going to play 82 games. May give you 65. Best player in the world, often. Not the most valuable, but the best player in the world when he's on the floor and healthy. But the NBA media and the NBA reality of the Nets are two different things. They have won 54% of their games in a league where the bottom eight teams are unwatchable. They have not been derailed. They've never been on the tracks. They've never been going anywhere. They've had one really great series, which Kevin Durant almost single-handedly carried them over Milwaukee. Durant's never been the problem. So he can blame himself. Dude, Ben Simmons can't play. Kyrie couldn't play home games. And James Harden quit. Durant's not the issue. He's been the solution to all their weirdness and hype and promises and what-ifs. He's not the problem. But nothing's been derailed here. They are this minute what they've been since day one. Talented and disappointing.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
One of the things you have to be careful about, very rarely, very infrequently, but it happens occasionally, the employee has leverage over the company. Aaron Rodgers had it over the Packers, and he used it. He humiliated them. He's now the highest paid player easily in the league. He won. And they're not signing any new receivers. Good luck, Aaron. We're going to be here longer than you. LeBron in his career has had great leverage, and he should. He is arguably the best basketball player ever. He makes everybody better. He is first, second, or third best player I've ever seen. Best players I've ever seen are Magic, LeBron, and Michael Jordan. And he used his leverage. I don't have a problem with it. The downside to having power and leverage and using it is people don't forget, okay? And so with this Laker team, LeBron has had leverage. They were, let's be fair here, the Lakers were a mess when LeBron arrived. So I've already had LeBron's people reach out to me this morning after my opening rant. They're not really happy. And in fairness, he came here and they were a mess, and he saved them. Listen, you know what I've said about the Lakers. They got too many friends of the Lakers. They're on their broadcast. They're in their front office. That's not the way you do it. You need outside voices. So LeBron deserved credit. They were a mess. I mean, those last few Kobe years were, it was Kobe and nonsense. And LeBron came in and said, I'll get you to the promised land. I'll win you a title. He deserves credit for that. But he had power to make that Westbrook thing happen. That's why you got to be very careful as a player. Aaron Rodgers had leverage. Get me Randall Cobb. That's probably why they can't afford DK Metcalf this morning, right? They'd have a little extra cash. So you have to be careful. When you are Aaron Rodgers, or you are Russell Wilson, or you're LeBron James, and you are transformational talent, you're going to have leverage. I mean, the NFL right now, these quarterbacks have more power than they've ever had. They're like NBA stars or international soccer stars. They're Messi. They're Ronaldo. They're LeBron. Denver had to have a quarterback. Otherwise, this GM is going to get fired in 2 years. You just can't win when you're a C-plus at quarterback. We've always known the NBA player has had star. So this is not like LeBron entered a brilliantly run franchise that was on the top of the world and he was just the icing on the cake. It was a mess. And he kind of saved it. He was a little bit of a life preserver. But now it's gone south. And LeBron's done this I'm too cool to care thing for the last like 6 months. And it's obvious. And it's like a turnoff. And that's why Magic Johnson came out. And Magic came out because Jeannie wanted Magic Johnson, her friend, to say, enough is enough. We're taking a lot of arrows here and we're done with it. This was Magic on ESPN yesterday.
The blame that he's got to take is the fact that DeRozan ended up in Chicago and not with the Lakers. DeRozan wanted to play for the Lakers. And when I got the call from his agent, I called the Lakers, said, hey, he wants to come home. And DeRozan could have been a Laker instead of a Bull. We could have made that deal. But when Russell and LeBron and them start talking, that's when they nixed that deal. And Westbrook, he became a Laker instead of DeRozan.
That's Magic Johnson. And his weight carries his voice carries massive weight in this town. He's also very close with Jeannie Buss. They're really, really close. So, listen, Magic at one point in his career complained, and they fired his coach and got him a new coach. And Kobe at one point, because I'm going to go to Chicago, and they got him Paul Gasol. So, you know, I mean, LeBron's not the first Laker to complain. I mean, this happened multiple. Magic did on coaching. Kobe did on players. But the difference is we knew that. It's been well chronicled. Magic wanted a new coach. He got one. Kobe wanted new players. He got one. I think LeBron sort of moved away from the Westbrook thing, and the Lakers are like, no. We're done with that. We're done with that. That was your call. Now, Clutch Sports and LeBron can say this is embellishment, and it is fair to say that LeBron entered a mess when he came to L.A. It was a mess. It had been a mess. They had the worst record in the NBA for the five previous years. They were a mess, and I still have questions about the front office. It's too star-driven. I mean, like, can we just get some draft picks and young guys? More Malik Monk, please.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This is my top 10 post-free agency Herd hierarchy. Here we go.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
San Francisco, really this is about respecting their head coach and their culture. I think Trey Lance can play. I'm not saying he's top 10. They did shore up the cornerback and safety position. They are one of eight teams without a first-round pick. But they've got plenty of picks. It's a good roster. If Trey Lance is good, not spectacular. This is not a situation like Trevor Lawrence has to save the Jags. Jimmy Garoppolo got to a Super Bowl with this roster and this coach. I put the Niners at 10.
Number 9.
Out of respect to the Ravens organization, owner, GM, coach, and quarterback, I put them 9. They fell apart last year. I mean, good God, I looked at the list of players who got hurt last year. It was insane. They did get Marcus Williams, the number one free agent safety on the market, and they needed him. They didn't get to the quarterback enough last year. Their pass defense was, as Joe Burrow has emerged as a real star, they got to get better in that space. But again, like the Niners, this is out of respect for the roster, the coach, the quarterback, the GM. I just put the Niners at 10 and the Ravens at 9.
Number 8.
I think what the Raiders did in the offseason is the best offseason for the Raiders in the last 20 years. Devontae Adams, now with Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, and Derek Carr, that's going to be a top 5 offense. I'm not sure anybody in the league's better at quarterback, running back, tight end, slot receiver, big play receiver. Also, they went and got Chandler Jones with Max Crosby. Now, I don't love parts and elements of their defense, so I put them at 8.
Number 7.
And I put the Chargers one spot ahead because I like the Chargers' back end. I like the Chargers' offensive line much more than I do the Raiders. I think the Chargers have a great O-line. I also think Justin Herbert has a higher ceiling. They went out and got J.C. Jackson at corner, Khalil Mack to add to Bosa. So I think they have fewer questions. Maybe not as powerful an offense, but fewer questions overall.
Number six.
I mean, what do we say about the Bengals? I mean, the weakness was the offensive line, and they shored it up. Lyle Collins, Alex Kappa, the guard, Ted Karras. They went and got Hayden Hurst. Listen, I know Super Bowl losers historically go backwards, but I think Joe Burrow is different. I think it's an offensive league, and Zach Taylor's a smart young head coach. I put the Bengals at six.
Number five.
Listen, let's slow down on the Kansas City Chiefs are done forever. Marquise Valdez-Scantling is a deep threat. Juju Smith-Schuster should be a 90-catch or 80-catch slot receiver. Justin Reed's a great safety. They still don't generate a consistent pass rush, in my opinion. But the offensive line, which they threw together last year, will be in year two. I got Mahomes, I got Andy Reid, I got playmakers, I'm good, Chiefs at five.
Number four.
Well, let's give the Denver Broncos, I've said I think they're going to win the division. I think beyond Russell Wilson, the acquisition of Randy Gregory and DJ Jones, along with Bradley Chubb on the defensive front, is staggering. This is going to be a great defensive front. Interior, on the edge, and now I get Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick and Javonte Williams, the running back, and Jerry Jeudy. And now we have the catalyst for it, a quarterback. When you watch this team lose the last couple of years, it was always like they couldn't win by track meet. I mean, they had to win a certain way. Now we got an offensive coach, a superstar quarterback, got the Broncos at four.
Number three.
Tampa Bay. I don't know if Gronk's going to play. He may come in late. But I will say this, they lost both their guards and went and got Shaq Mason, so they solved their issue. I think they'll draft a running back. Lenny Fournette's going to come back. I think you have to give respect. I don't know. Todd Bowles would not have been my hire. I probably would have gone with Byron Leftwich because of the way the league is moving. I put them at three, and number two being?
Number two.
The Rams beat them twice last year and frankly blew them out in L.A. and blew them out for the first half in the Super Bowl. And if not for a Cam Akers fumble, they would have run away with that thing. Rams are better, and they added Allen Robinson, a wildly underrated wide receiver, and Bobby Wagner, who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, arguably first or second best Mike linebacker in the league. Their offensive line, they need to go draft this draft. They got to go war like the Cowboys. They're getting a little long in the tooth. They're going to get a little expensive at right tackle, but I put them at number two.
Number one.
I thought Buffalo was the best team in football at their best last year. I still thought they had Kansas City beaten, and they've added Von Miller and O.J. Howard and Shaq Lawson and Jamison Crowder, and they just keep getting better and better. Josh Allen was sensational in the playoffs. So the best team does not always win the Super Bowl. It is attrition and health and momentum and where are you playing. You know, they don't lose to the Jags. They don't lose to the Steelers early. You know, maybe they're playing, they're running through Buffalo. The Super Bowl's running through Buffalo. But in the end, I think this is the best team in football. And the Rams second, Bucks third. There we go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Mark Medina has been covering the NBA for a long time. NBA.com, NBA writer, now is joining us live on the set.
Joy.
From the Times to the USA Today, the Daily News. It's great. We were going to have you on yesterday. You were probably very busy breaking stories.
Not to lose the dramatic appeal, but a doctor's appointment. But you know what? 2 years since pre-pandemic, since I've been here, it's amazing to see you enjoy in person old times.
It's great to have you. So, I said this. I'm already getting some pushback from the LeBron camp, which is fine. But I said, listen, LeBron didn't have to go on ESPN and say that. Okay. That was, to me, that was pretty clear. He went on that show, and he was going to make a statement from Jeannie Buss, his good friend, that we're tired of getting dumped on here.
Right.
That's what it felt like to me.
Look, no one's blameless with this season. The Lakers thought that they were going to be at least competing for an NBA championship. They might not even make the play-in tournament, Colin. If they lose tonight against Phoenix and San Antonio beats the Nuggets, they are officially out of the play-in tournament. But In my mind, I think what Magic's been saying has been revisionist history. He had a tweet when the Westbrook trade happened, lauding it, saying, hey, the Lakers are going to be in the hunt for a championship. And as far as LeBron goes, look, put his game to the side. He's been playing out of his mind at 37 years old, 19th season. That's been amazing. Everything else, sure, there's things that you can criticize him for as far as his vision with the roster. But at the end of the day, the Lakers front office are the one pulling the triggers. And when he's given feedback to the front office about players, whether it's Russell Westbrook or DeMar DeRozan or Buddy Hield, he's sharing his basketball intel and what he thinks about them as players, but he's not saying do this, do this, do this. And he's also not saying, oh, be willing to give up this player and this player and this player to make it happen. That's what a front office is for. So they have to take responsibility for that.
Well, we've been very critical of the, we have said this team has had seven losing seasons in 9 years. So as I said about 30 minutes ago, I said, listen, he saved them. They were a mess.
Yeah,
I like Kuzma more than everybody else. I like KCP and Alex Caruso. I would not have moved off them. But I do think there's a thing happening here is, you know, LeBron, even with Shabazz Napier in Miami, was like, I like that guy. And like Pat Riley's like, all right, we want to make you happy. When LeBron comes to a franchise, we have four different examples. You move off young players. You win now. I mean, he did that Cleveland, Miami, Laker. I mean, we've seen this. Can I not argue this? Okay, we got the championship. But LeBron, you've got to evolve as a player. We've got to get younger. And you've got to be willing to play with some young guys. Because you and I know, he doesn't love that. He didn't want Andrew Wiggins. He wanted Kevin Love.
Yeah.
He didn't want Lonzo Ball. He wanted, you know, he wants Melo. Doesn't LeBron hold a certain responsibility that as he is aged, he can no longer carry an average roster to anything?
Sure. He has to bear responsibility. And I think you can argue he bared his responsibility with his production on the floor this season. I mean, the numbers that he's posted this year are in line with his prime years in Cleveland. To your point, though, that hasn't been enough to carry and cover up the Lakers' flaws. But when I'm looking at the percentage of the blame pie here for why the Lakers are in this mess, I put number one, the front office with the roster construction. I put number two, I put Russell Westbrook. Even though we knew his strengths and weaknesses, the bottom line, there was at least this expectation that he could be the number one guy and carry the team in the event that LeBron and AD are out because of injuries or just rest. Russell hasn't been able to check the box on a consistent basis as a number one, number two, number three option on off ball. With exception of him coming off the bench, they've tried to push every button there, and it hasn't worked. Number three is the injuries. There's been a lot of them to AD, LeBron, role players. That's obviously complicated. But I think the two main things that explain why the Lakers are where they're in is roster construction and Russell Westbrook and his inability to make the best of what he's inherited.
So you, I said when AD, after they won the championship in the bubble, so much of sports is buy low, sell high. Like Belichick mastered it. The minute you fall in love with a player outside of Brady, move on, get value. And it worked for 20 years with Brady. So when AD came after the bubble championship, and it was kind of, LeBron was saying, listen, I need you to play 38 minutes. I'm going to play 30. And he came in out of shape. And he's always had a reputation. He doesn't grind it in the weight room. AD's not that guy. You know, guys, he's just gifted. He doesn't grind it. He struggles, and many have said that's why he's hurt all the time, but whether that's fair or not. I would move off AD. Westbrook's an obvious.
Yeah.
I would move off AD. My question becomes, can you get anything for him unless he's great in the first half? What do you do with the AD issue, which is the dude gives you 50 games a year, 60 a year. That's what he is now.
Yeah, philosophically, I'm with you that they at least have to entertain the idea. As far as what I make of AD as a player, I view it a little bit differently. There's no disputing the games and the games that he's missed, his injury history, but I have attributed that more to his body and freak accidents happening as opposed to it being any sort of indictment on his training or his attitude. I mean, you look at last season with the Lakers-Suns first-round matchup, he was trying as best he can to gut it out and play.
Yeah.
His body just failed him. Same thing here recently. So because of that, I don't have concerns about his desire to be better or his competitive level. But injury histories are injury histories. And as you know, Colin, covering the NFL in any sports, the best ability is availability.
And he's not there.
And he's not there. And if the Lakers don't know what they're going to get, you have to at least entertain the idea. But I think where it's different with Russell Westbrook, I think regardless, they have to just cut their losses with whatever they can get, even role players, first-round picks, contract buyout, as opposed with AD, it's really about, okay, what is there on the market that could make this a better solution? But there is a pathway of still making the best with LeBron and AD as long as they address the rest of the roster and easier said than
done. Let me throw this out, the Westbrook piece. So when he came, I said, I don't love it, but AD gets hurt a lot. LeBron's older. He'll be productive. Somebody's got to give him 25 a night.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the Westbrook thing would go sideways this quickly, but my takeaway was, you know, I've never been a Westbrook fan. I'm more of a Chris Paul point guard guy. I was never a Wall fan. But I did think, who's going to score when AD and LeBron are out? They need points. So give me a magic solution, because in the NFL, I can just cut guys. I don't have to have matching salaries. NBA makes it very hard. When you're bad, you're often bad for a decade. It's really hard. How do you dig out from the Westbrook? Give me a team. Give me a scenario that makes any sense.
I don't know any specific teams, but the scenario is the Lakers are going to have to move the goalposts, and it's about accepting a deal that involves a handful of players that might meet and fulfill these positional needs that they're lacking and some draft picks. There's no trade out there that's going to result in getting some all-star caliber player. So that's scenario number one, role players, draft picks. And scenario number two is convincing Russ to accept a buyout where, hey, look, you saw what this last season was all about with the awkward fit and
fans heckling
and a lot of, I think, you know, it goes without saying, unjustified personal attacks in terms of his family and death threats and all that. But the bigger thing is the basketball fit. And if they're able to have those conversations and sell it, look, this is your ability to join a team that you think is a better fit, maybe that can work. But that's going to have to involve some negotiating, some tough conversations. But those two scenarios are much more realistic than this idea that, okay, now the summer's hit, we're going to be able to trade him. They tried to trade him during the trade deadline. The only option they really had was Houston with John Wall, but they didn't want to pull the trigger on that because they're giving up a 2027 first-round pick.
You had a Q&A with Kareem recently. I defended LeBron on my podcast in regards to the Kareem criticism, and I said, you know, despite what conservative news outlets will tell you, LeBron has done a good job in his career. His intent is always good. It's to help others, the school thing. I think Kareem, who can be prickly and idealistic, Kareem was no day at the beach as a player. He was very difficult to deal with. That's why he's never gotten the job that I think he perhaps coveted at one point. And I love Kareem, but Kareem comes with his own baggage. So I think it's totally unfair to criticize LeBron on any of the things he's done for social justice or his belief. I think his intent's good. I think his passion's good. And as much as I like Brady and Michael Jordan, what they do is sort of stockpile their brands. It is elevation of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's done a lot for other people. I'll defend LeBron to the ends of the earth on that stuff. I think he's really done great things for kids, poor people, and people that are overlooked in society. Somebody told me Kareem backtracked a little on his criticism.
He did a little bit, but I think when you look at the totality of his Q&A that he had with reporters and the subsequent one-on-one that I had with him afterwards, his comments about LeBron from the beginning were very candid but very nuanced. He was very laudatory about what LeBron's done in the social justice space when it comes to the I Promise School in his hometown in Akron, Ohio.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I mean, the impact that that's going to have on students, it already has, but the next generation, their ability to turn that into a scholarship for college or whatever career
he's
afterwards,
changing,
it's amazing.
Changing lives, changing families, cycles forever.
So undisputed praise there. Praise for, you know, LeBron's initiatives to increase voting turnout for the 2020 election. His overall voice when he's been addressing the different systemic racism issues in our country. Where Kareem took issue with LeBron was simply the vaccine stuff of, look, he's a guy who got vaccinated, so did his family, and he is obviously one of the most visible players in the NBA. Why not use that to talk to other people about the safety and effectiveness? And Kareem's coming out from the lens of he was a guy, as well as other former legends that were part of this promotional campaign
right.
that the NBA did. So that was the criticism. And I think since then, as you noted, he then released subsequent statements trying to reiterate the positives. So with that, what I take away, I don't think there's going to be any like public war awards. There's a lot of respect, but I think it's going to be one of those things of, you know what, agree to disagree. I think from LeBron's perspective, he looks at that issue differently. He doesn't feel comfortable telling people what to do with the vaccine, and that's that.
Draymond Green did the same thing. Yeah. Like, I would have liked Draymond and LeBron to go in on the vaccine. I'm not a fan of mandates. And listen, the CDC's made mistakes. A lot of this stuff is theater. Now we're on a fifth booster shot. So, listen, and I've said this before, a professional athlete at 30 years old is literally bulletproof to almost everything that I'm not. So I understand I can't. I'm not LeBron. I'm not Draymond. I'm not a professional athlete. And a lot of those guys had questions and cynicism. It's just I don't like criticizing professional athletes because they don't jump on board with a campaign, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I like them when they spread disinformation or are, like Aaron Rodgers, wiggle around the truth. I think LeBron's just like, I'm not sure. So I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass on that. It's not what I would have done. But these pro athletes, they're kind of physically bulletproof, and a lot of them thought this is nonsense. But let's go back to this, though, outside of the social justice, is that genie and magic are tight, like really, really tight. And the Lakers know that LeBron's going to own a franchise at some point, like Michael, if he wants to. And I think Michael, just not going to own ours, right? Right, that's not the way it works. You don't get as a baseball player, Jeter can't, he can go to the Marlins, they're not going to own the Yankees. This is public. Magic talks. This is going to reverberate. I've already had people reach out to me from LeBron's camp. They're not happy with me. How does this end? How does this play out?
The Lakers are always unpredictable. Their soap opera always has twists and turns, and that's partly of what the appeal is. We don't know how it's going to play out, but as far as this offseason goes, assuming that they don't make the play-in tournament or at least don't get past the first round, there are changes. It seems inevitable because their expectation was they're going to compete for a championship, if not win it. That's the obvious answer. But the complicated development with this is there's not an easy pathway to get out of this. There's some low-hanging fruit of there's 8 free agents that are on veterans minimum deals by default. Those players aren't going to be back, but that doesn't dramatically change the roster. When you're looking at Frank Vogel, I'd be very surprised if he's back because that's just the nature
of the league,
of professional sports and the NBA. The head coaches are usually the first ones to be fired. And looking at Frank Vogel specifically, sure, you could microanalyze a rotation here, rotation there, adjustments, but it doesn't answer the bigger problems of the roster construction and the fit. And the unfortunate reality for the Lakers is that they don't have any cap space to work with. And to get cap space, it's moving off that Russ contract. And that is easier said than done because there's not really a strong market for him.
Yeah, there isn't a market for him. It is just somebody figuring out a way. I guess I shouldn't say that. Good God, there was a market for Ben Simmons. I mean, that story. By the way, off the Lakers for a second. Joy and I are perplexed. What is up with Ben Simmons? I mean, is it now shoulders up? Is it physical?
The Nets say it's physical. And look, there's a lot of uneasiness about this because there's going to be an adjustment period whenever Ben Simmons comes back because he hasn't played basketball all season. And this idea that you can just plug and play him the same way that Kyrie Irving was as a part-time player before the mandate was lifted, I think it's apples to oranges because at least Kyrie was playing on road games. It's at least there was a familiarity he had with Kevin Durant and everyone else on the roster. Here with Ben Simmons, everything's new. So even if it is a net positive for the Nets to have Ben Simmons because the James Harden experiment wasn't working, there was right. tension with him and Kyrie Irving, I don't know what version of Ben we're going to get. And then you also add the context of last year with the disappointment with the Sixers playoff exit and his role with that. Is he able to shake that off and funnel whatever frustrations he has for the greater good of bettering his game and bettering the Nets' chances of playing? I mean, I don't have real good confidence in all those questions.
Mark Medina, great to see you again. You're always welcome. Again, he had a doctor's appointment. We had him on. Yes, I don't even want to, you know, there's a privacy HIPAA laws or whatever they call those things, so I don't want to know about that. But it's great seeing you again.
Likewise. Hey, I'm just trying to get ready for the NBA playoffs. So I'm 100% when the games go.
There you go.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.